really, you are just affirming what's been done. In your self-mortification, as you put to death, you are just confirming historically and now in your life what was done 2,000 years ago for you, because you couldn't do it for yourself, because Jesus did it all. He put every bit of thought to death. He put every wrong viewing of the eyes to death. He put every selfish action to death. He put everything to death. He finished it. That kind of man, that defeated man, he put him to death. That wretched man, he put him to death. That hopeless, helpless man, that sex-crazed man, he put him to death. You know, he put him to death. That bitter old woman, he put her to death. He took it all and he put it to death. Am I right? Do I hear amen? Do you see that this is what Jesus did? This is the powerful action of Calvary, and the Holy Spirit who was there is able to apply the energies of it to you now and enable you, when temptations come, to mortify. Amen. So that you get into the habit of mortification. You may have to mortify your flesh in various ways. You may have to put to death the bondage to sleep. Some people, you know, especially young people, you see, it's not a good thing to stay up to 3 a.m. and stay in bed to noon. It's not a good thing. You say, well, it doesn't happen over here. You know, we're country people, you know. But certainly in the cities it happens, and young people have got to mortify that. They've got to mortify it. Put to death. Put to death. Put to death. Isn't it tremendous that we have power to do this? Hallelujah. Because the Holy Spirit brings this power of the cross of Christ. And I know that I can't live in fellowship with Christ. And as I walk being led by the Spirit in fellowship with Christ, he comes to me and he says, now put that away. Now don't do that. He puts his finger on things, doesn't he? He does. It's wonderful. And in fellowship with him, you're able to stop doing that. And he gives the sweet compensations of himself. Amen. Amen. I remember a time. It's funny, I was listening, today to some songs of the 50s. And, you know, they all come back to you. And I was thinking, you know, this is about the first time I've listened to a CD for months. Once upon a time. You see, I used to listen to so much music. I love all kinds of music. Music fascinates me in its spectrums. I hate the superficial stuff that, you know, but I like the stuff that's, you know, anyway, popular. If it's popular, it's probably trash. But anyway, more or less right, isn't it? Because to be popular has got to sort of suit the lowest common denominator. But anyway, music is a wondrous spectrum, a rainbow of colours musically, all the styles and the sound, and yet I hardly listen to it. And someone who comes from a musical background, do you know, I started playing the sax last year again. I got the sax and I started to play, and I, for about 6 weeks, did an idea, and I was, you know, giving my 45 minutes a day religiously and getting a tune out of the old thing again, and, you know, getting a little bit of a lilt to it, and, you know, just beginning to feel, and I thought, whatever you're doing, you'll never use it. So it went back in the bag. It's a waste of time. But it's interesting how the Lord Jesus gives you something that mortifies. He put it to death. There's better things to do with your time, Bernard. Mortify. Now, I want you to go into Philippians chapter 3, and the time's really gone very quick. But look over into Philippians, because this life of power has these two sides. There's this mortification, the power of the cross. But look here in Philippians 3. You know where I'm going to go, I'm sure. But it's good for you to go there, or for us to go there. Let's have a look. Chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 7. What things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yes, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency. If I was to ask you, what tense is I counted? What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Past tense, is that right? Past tense. All right. Yea, doubtless, verse 8, and I count all things but loss. What tense is that? Present tense, okay. So just keep that in your mind. I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now, what tense is I count there? Present, okay. That I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Can you see in verses 9 and 10 and 11 a juxtaposition of death and life? Can you see the power of the resurrection and verse 11, the resurrection of the dead? Can you see that that is somehow linked with being made conformable to his death and the fellowships of his sufferings? Can you see those sorts of things? So I would be quite wrong if all I said to you is mortify, 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 mortify. Crucifixion, crucifixion. It's the power to lay your life down. It's the power to be crucified. I'd be quite wrong if I said that, wouldn't I? Because Paul doesn't say that. Because Paul says along with it is the power of resurrection. There's the power of resurrection. There's joy. God save us from a joylessness. Now, I pointed out to you, I counted, and that's past tense. And I count, which is present tense. Can anybody here tell me at what point Philippians was written? How long? You see, I counted all things but loss. When was that, Paul? How long ago? At what point did you count in the past all things but dung? When did you do that, Paul? All the things that were gained to me I counted but loss. Well, on the Damascus Road. When I was those 3 days, and Ananias came and laid his hands on me, and the straight called straight. Do you remember in Damascus? And I was there. How many years ago was it, Paul? 31. 31 years ago, he says, I counted everything but loss. I counted it, all the things that were gained to me, I counted but loss. And I'll tell you, some of you might be like that, that 31 years ago you counted them all but loss. Well, can you say like Paul did, and I count them? Present tense. I count them. I count all things but loss. He's still in the same frame of mind. 31 years further on, now he's an elderly man. Earlier on, he was a young man. Now he's on the same ground. Then he was in his 30s. Now he's in his 60s. And he says, I'm in the same frame of mind. I count them all but loss. I count all of them, all the things that I thought made me great and acceptable. Well, I won't say any more about that. But let me emphasize this, that verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. Now you notice that resurrection is a word, some of you will know that one of the words, if I was in Sweden, they would say, and if I was being interpreted into Swedish, I would say, resurrection. And the interpreter would say, uppstanden. Uppstanden. Which you can all hear, upstanding. Resurrection has to do with standing up, coming out. And in the Greek language, you know the Russian story, the Russian princess, Anastasia. Anastasia is the Greek word anastasis. All right, anastasis. Stasis is the word to stand in Greek. Anna is again. To again stand. Resurrection, the power that makes you again stand. Amen? You see, because if you suffer mortification, if you experience crucifixion, if you accept the power of the cross, you must also know the power of the upstanding. You must also know the power of the anastasis. That which makes you stand again and walk again and live again in newness of life. This is the power. This is the uncanny power. This is the Christian power. This is the power of the church. The power that enables the church to lay its life down. And yet it's the power that raises her up in dynamic ability to confront powers of darkness. Amen. This is your calling. This is our power. The power that brings us to death. The power that brings us to life. The power that the Holy Spirit brings is the power of the Christ, who is the resurrection. You can't be near Jesus Christ. Do you remember, the trouble with us is that we're not dead enough to get thrown in the grave with our Jesus. What story am I talking about? You know, where old Elisha had been dead and he was in the grave, weren't they? And then they opened up the grave and they threw a couple of dead bodies in. Is that right? You know, and they'd forgotten it was Elisha. And the dead bodies touched the bones of Elisha and poof, up they came. Amen. Well, our Lord Jesus, they touched the body, the bones. And we come into fellowship with Jesus and there's dynamic. There's resurrection. There is the strange paradox of loss and yet gain, of being down and yet there's power that raises you up, that I may know the power of his resurrection. And I may know the power, this hope that rises in the hopeless. When you're in fellowship with Christ, yes, you're allowed a down moment, but if you listen closely, he'll say to you, don't worry, I'm the resurrection. I'm the resurrection. Do you remember when Jesus announced himself as the resurrection and the life? Do you remember the story? Do you remember the story? It's to do with Mary and Martha and their beloved brother, Lazarus, who was dead. And he was in the grave and Jesus hadn't come. He was only sick when they sent for Jesus. And Jesus didn't come. He delayed. He was waiting. He was obeying his Father and he arrived. And Martha and Mary came out to him, you know, Martha first. And they were heartbroken. And Jesus said, your brother shall rise again. Your brother shall rise again. Your brother, he says, because that was a good Jewish hope. They were beginning to expect the resurrection. And she said, because she was a good Jewess, she said, yes, I know he will rise again at the resurrection of the last day. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, I believe in the resurrection too, Jesus. You said to me, your brother shall rise again. Oh, well, he will, yeah, at the resurrection at the last day. And he said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. The resurrection's here, Mary. The power of the resurrection's here. You are not having to wait. I'm the power of that resurrection that is to come. But the resurrection is here. And that's the wonderful thing about the church. You see, this is the wonderful thing about you and me. This is the wonderful thing that we've been, the power of the church is the resurrection is here. That brings new life here. That makes, Lord, it doesn't make you less sorrowful at the graveside of your loved one, but it can turn your heart and flood it with hope and gladness that your loved one is with the Lord. Amen. And that death has lost her victory and her power. That's the resurrection. In the resurrection power, that though you are crushed and pushed down, the resurrection power rises up uncannily in your soul. Amen. And there's hope. It is strange. We've learnt to be miserable. We have become conditioned to a subtle sadness. We've been used to sort of, stroking one another's sorrows in the wrong kind of way. We've got used to kind of living without joy. We've got used to sort of saying, of just sort of rolling along. I don't know how some of you who are farmers can actually do that. Just roll along. Because you, more than me, behold the wonder of resurrection every year. When you throw those seeds in that rather artificial way into the soil. You know, with those marvellous machines that sort of put it at the perfect depth and the perfect distance, as provided you have set it right. You know, and everything works, doesn't it? But you see the wonder. I find it even amazing, as we've lived in Canada, to see those brown and barren fields suddenly showing a greenness. Resurrection. Resurrection. You see, and here we are. The church is to be living by the power of the resurrection. You should be experiencing that power. You should be reading your Bible and having a little time with the Lord every day. And during that, be strangely warmed. I read a little bit. I was sharing a room with a certain man who shall remain nameless. And I had my flashlight stuck under my neck and I was sitting in bed like this. Lest I disturb his slumbers. Mind, he was up before me. And he went back to sleep. And I was reading my Bible in the dark with my flashlight. And I was strangely moved and felt the power of the resurrection again. And it shook Tom's bed. But hallelujah. This is what the church should know. It's our power. The power that enables you to lay your life down. The power that raises you up in newness. And that a daily experience. Amen? It's a power that moves against things. Now, I'm going to have to stop, really. The time's gone. But I want you to do something. Some of you do this, please. Will you? That... go through the book of Acts. This is what I wanted to get to and I haven't got to. Go through the book of Acts. Acts and see how those people of God's church moving in the power of the Christ and his cross and of the Spirit and of the resurrection, how every step they took, they were confronted by powers. So you have Philip going down to Samaria. And he begins to preach the word down there, the word of the cross. And he's down there, and he's in the power of the resurrection and the power of the cross, and immediately he's confronted by a magician. This was not a magician of sleight of hand. This was not your kind of conjurer. This was a man who had and used demonic agencies, and he was known as the great dynamis, the great power in the area. And the power of the cross and the Christ and the Spirit and the resurrection confronted that power. And you will discover this, and you are to be looking for it. You are to rejoice. I think of someone, a little church, probably the same size as your church, 70, 80, 90 people. And we happened to be amongst them a little while. And during the time we were there just visiting, we weren't preaching. They were having a week of fasting and prayer. They were meeting every night. To fast and pray. They were people who could were going out with them without their meals, and they were meeting to fast and pray. And perhaps it's something you should do. And anyway, they were doing it. And the week passed, and a couple of days following, all bedlam let loose. There was a girl who went off her head. There was this that happened, and a pastor was, and they were so sort of overrun, and suddenly things burst forth. And I said to the brother, I said, what did you expect? You got to grips with God. You prayed and fasted, and the powers of darkness felt the shaking, and things that had been stuck were burst out and had to be dealt with. Now, it's not always as graphic as that, though usually, and when we used to do it in Perth, when we used to do it in Exeter, there were times when immediately afterwards, you weren't looking for it, but demons came out and things happened and situations were broken into because we were moving and linking up in the power of the cross and the power of the Spirit and the power of Christ and the power of the gospel and the power of the resurrection. And darkness, you see, has to feel the impact. People get free. So that you should rejoice in this. You see, when the church learns to move in her power, give herself like Samson, let's finish with him again, where he accepted the power of the cross. It's going to kill me, but it's going to deal with the powers of darkness. And it's going to glorify you, Lord. I don't know. I don't care what happens to me. Amen. Amen. And all the temple came tumbling down. All the false worship. That's what happens. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you with the word, and me too. Amen. Amen, Lord. We thank you, Father, for this little time we've had together. I'm glad, Lord, to be able to come and help in your church here, Lord. I encourage my brothers and sisters in your way. I thank you that these things are not special to me, Lord, but they are ours. that you have made your cross our cross. You have made your resurrection our resurrection. You have made your death our death. You have made your Spirit and given him to us. You have given him to be the power of your church, to make the crucified life and the resurrected life the normal life of your church. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now we want to move in your power, Lord. Hallelujah. Just break through. Help my brothers and sisters to confront powers of darkness in your way and in your power. Mm-hmm. At your timing to confront things that need confrontation. Lord, blessed be your name. Help us as individuals, Lord, to do that. If we've been living with something far too long, Lord, then in our families, if we've been manipulating or moving in any form of sorcery, we want to renounce that, Lord. Help brothers to renounce it. Help sisters to renounce it. Every hidden thing of darkness, so that it's your wondrous white power of God, that pure power, not really white, Lord, but glorious. Glorious power. Hallelujah. So clear, so open, so transparent. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Hallelujah. Thank you. We open our hearts to you. Pray that you'll carry your work forward, Lord, in your power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you know you've got to mortify something, you don't say to any more, I can't do it. Through the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and the power of his Spirit in you, you are able to mortify. Don't let the devil lie to you anymore. You're able to put it to death. You're able to put it off. You're able to cry to Christ and know his power at work in you, to put it off. Amen. And at the same time, to begin to know the power of his resurrection, his newness of life, and carrying you forward. Hallelujah. To carry you forward and be part of what he's doing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.